Chapter 7. My fingers brushed against the staff's wood-like surface, and even though it was an inanimate object, it felt as if it were reaching for me, too. The staff somehow knew that I was meant to be its wielder. As I grasped the haft tightly in my hand, something strange happened. The laboratory and my yelling women disappeared and were replaced with images and memories that weren't mine. A woman trudged through the forest in ordinary enough armor with the staff tightly held in her hands. I hadn't seen the mage Valerie found deep inside the Drake's cave, but this had to be her from her general description. Runes and ancient symbols were carved into the surface of her grayish-colored armor. The mage trotted through the forest, paused for a moment, and then held the staff aloft as she whispered something under her breath. The amethyst stone glowed in its holder for a moment, and the mage brought the staff a little closer to her face. I watched as the stone held in between the spokes flashed thrice, and then shot a single beam of lilac light through the forest. The mage nodded once and lowered the staff away from her face as she trudged down the indicated path. The power rushing through my grasp intensified, and I saw another image much different than the one shown to me before. This time, it was the mage battling against the drake in the same spot we had. The only difference was the intact forest around the battling mage, and the colors adorning the drake. The beast's flank was painted with brilliant neon blues and darker shades of azure. This wasn't the same creature we'd battled against, but I was more than sure that the elemental core held within its body was the very same that we had in our possession. The drake's enormous tail swung out behind it and knocked the staff from the mage's hand. The weapon whipped through the air, flipped twice, and then smashed against the rock. A soft twinkle reached my ears, and I realized this must have been when the amethyst stone cracked. The woman raced toward it while her arms pumped at her sides, and right as the drake was about to cut her off, she snatched up the weapon. The rest of this memory was nothing more than a blur, but it didn't take much imagination to know what would happen next. The unrecognizable drake lunged forward with its enormous maw open wide and snatched up the defenseless mage. After that, everything was nothing more than a distortion of scarlet before the drake disappeared back down into its cave with the dead mage in its jaws. I couldn't tell if I were reliving the mage's memories or seeing her life through the staff's crystal. Whatever it was strange and confusing, but also invigorating. More images flashed behind my eyes of another woman in a different set of armor with the staff tightly clasped in her gloved hands. She walked toward me with her eyes locked on mine, but as she moved forward, her appearance changed and melted away to another woman's face. Each step she took, she was a different person with varying features, and right as she stood in front of me, her armored hand offered me the staff. It was almost as if the staff's previous owners had all come together after their deaths and presented me with the weapon. I had no idea what powers the pole arm held, but I would soon find out. I was shoved back into my body right as my hand encircled the staff and gripped it hard. The swirling gale encapsulating my monster women from me immediately died down, and the strange chorus of voices fell away from us.
Charles!
Valerie squeaked.
What was that?
What happened?
Daisy called. I held the staff aloft as a single voice rang out in a language I didn't understand. But the single word reverberated in my head for a long time.
Sicarius,
the woman's voice repeated once more and then disappeared with the remaining wind.
What was that?
Josephine gasped.
Who said that?
One of the past owners, I replied easily. They gave me the staff. Or, at least, symbolically, they did. I saw visions of the past wielders, and they gave this to me.
Did they show you how to use it?
No. But, with the immense power rushing through my body, I think I could figure it out pretty easily. I just feel as if I know what to do. Does that make any sense?
Wait. The past owners gave it to you?
Yes. A single woman walked toward me. But she became a different person with each step she took. It was like the staff showed me every past owner, and each of them had to approve.
What was that word the voice spoke again?
Sicarius. But what does that have to do with anything?
Wait. Edony?
Josephine asked.
Isn't that
Yes.
The Duchess interjected before the honey blonde could finish her sentence.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
What are you both talking about? Can we be filled in, please? It's all getting very confusing, and the rest of us don't understand.
There's a fable.
Edeny started.
Kind of like a legend, but many people believed it to be true. The story of Sicarius and Amyla. Amyla was one of the first women to receive powers, but it wasn't a fully fledged power like those seen today. When women started to develop abilities, they weren't what they are today. Many of the females that didn't receive such powers believed that those who did were nothing more than mages. Amyla was a practiced alchemist and one of those who received powers from birth. She crafted the great weapon, Sicarius, and wandered the earth helping those in need. She slew beasts and saved towns from being ravaged by pillagers. But when it came time for Amyla to pass on, she gifted the great staff to her successor. The legend stated that the staff was passed down through the generations until it disappeared.
All of them wore similar armor, except for the last one. Presumably the last one to hold the staff, and the same one killed by the drake. The other mages wore amber-colored armor, but the last wore a grayish color, almost black, but not quite. The runes stood out more prominently, and I could almost read them.
Black armor?
Cleia gasped and took an instinctive step backward.
Are you sure?
Yes, what's the matter?
Then the last mage to hold the staff was one of the queen's specialized guard, the Lieblich Division. They're known for their black armor. They use mages to search for escaped prisoners and convicted convicts. I can assume that the mage who held the staff last used it to search and find these particular people easily.
I assume you know this because of your Kalara memories, correct? I asked. What would the Lieblich Division do?
Think of them as the Queen's mercenaries. They work for the Queen and the Marchionesses. Either can employ them, but the Queen herself primarily dispatches them. Where they go are entirely up to her, and they will obey her commands to the letter. You said that the past owners had to approve of you?
Edeny asked.
If they did, I doubt you would have received the staff.
No. There seemed to be an understanding between these women and me. It was like, after they died, they realized their past beliefs were wrong, and they allowed me to take the staff.
So, you know how to use it? Did they teach you?
No, but I feel as if I do. Like if I try and use it, the staff will guard and teach me what needs to be done.
Alrighty then. Why don't we go outside and test it out?
What? What do you mean?
That sounds like a wonderful idea.
Edeny bubbled and clapped her hands excitedly.
Charles, we can spar with you, and you can use the staff to protect yourself.
What? Spar? With all of you? I would love to do that, if I knew what I was doing, and there wasn't a chance that any of you or me could end up getting hurt.
But...
Daisy sang and pressed her hands to my shoulders.
You just said that when you hold the staff, you feel like you know what you're doing. I bet once we get outside and actually throw a few things at you, you'll know exactly what to do.
Well, not only that, Charles. We're not gonna hurt you. It's not like we're gonna take you outside and use 100% of our powers. Maybe Daisy will throw a couple of air balls, I'll try to sneak up on you while invisible, or Edeny will throw a lightning bolt at you. But we're not gonna attack you.
Throwing a lightning bolt at someone definitely sounds like an attack, I chuckled, and then glanced down at the staff in my hands. You know what? Let's do it, as long as all of you promise to be as gentle as you can. Maybe after I practice a little bit, you can fight me a little harder, but that's if all of us are comfortable.
Fine.
Valerie grinned, nodded once, and then placed her hands firmly on her hips.
And maybe we'll convince Edeny to throw a lightning bolt or two.
I won't. I have a few other attacks that I can try that are less dangerous.
All right, I breathed, shook my arms, and then gripped onto the weapon's shaft tightly. Let's do this. And if any of you hurt me, you have to nurse me back to health.
All right. But we promise we're not going to. We'll be as gentle as we have to be. And once you're more comfortable, we'll go a little harder. Oh, this sounds like when you began to make love to me. You were so gentle at first, but then, once I got used to you spreading me...
I believe we all get the idea, my dear.
Edeny chuckled.
Charles, shall we go to the yard?
I nodded and breathed in deeply before heading toward the stairwell. My women followed after me, and we tramped out onto the gravel. A few soldiers glanced in our direction, but didn't pay us any mind as we moved down the sloping hill out of view. I moved a few yards away from my monster women in the tall, yellowing grass, held the staff loosely in my right hand, and then gestured toward them with my left. "Are you ready?" I asked.
"Yep."
Valerie laughed and then immediately phased out of view.
"We're going to attack one at a time. Is that all right, Charles?"
"Sure," I shouted back. "Let's see what this thing can do." Even though the grass was long and shifted in the slight wind, I couldn't tell where the feline woman was or if she were coming straight at me. I waited a few minutes, turned in my position, and looked all around me. There still was no sign of her anywhere, but silently I felt the same strange rush of energy from the staff wash over me in a great wave. The runes carved into the metal glowed azure and flickered with life. I instinctively knew that I needed to hold the weapon aloft, and as I did, a sheer blue light cascaded out of the elemental core. I shifted my feet, turned in the grass, and aimed the blue light all across the grass, until suddenly Valerie appeared a few feet away from me. I could tell that there was something not quite right with her until I realized that the feline woman was still invisible, and the staff had shown me where she was, even though I couldn't physically see her.
"What?"
the cat girl gasped as she suddenly came back into view.
"What's wrong?"
Daisy called.
"My power was activated. I was using it, and then I couldn't anymore. Charles, what does this mean? Is there something wrong with my power?"
I lifted the staff higher into the air and examined all of the runes carved into its beautiful surface. It really was a handsome weapon, and I imagined myself wearing a fine suit of armor and carrying it at my side. "Nothing's wrong with your powers," I commented, as I swung the staff out and away from the feline woman. "Go ahead and try and activate them again." Valerie's light blue eyes met mine, and she pressed her lips together in a firm line. The feline woman tightened her hands into fists and slammed her eyes closed. Instantly, the ash blonde disappeared from view, and then, just as suddenly, reappeared with a shocked expression.
"Charles! What happened? Why couldn't I activate my power?"
"Your powers were neutralized," I grunted, and stared down at the weapon in my hands. "At least for a few seconds. It doesn't seem to have any permanent effects, and it didn't damage you, but it shocked you enough to stop your attack, correct?"
"Yes. Imagine if you used it on an unsuspecting aristocrat. They'd have no idea what you'd done to them. Say, if I were an aristocrat and you used it on me, I would assume that you completely took away my powers."
"How terrifying,"
Daisy chuckled.
"And how fun."
"Who wants to try next?" I chuckled and lifted the weapon out in front of me.
"I will,"
Edeny smirked.
"Prepare yourself, Charles. I'm not going to sneak up on you as Valerie did, and I doubt you can neutralize this."
The Duchess held out her taloned hands in front of her, closed her eyes, and then bent her knees. The she-wolf spun once, and her open-palmed hands brushed at the tops of the dying grass. The leaves instantly turned yellow, and I watched in both awe and surprise as golden light flooded toward me with a loud popping sound. I slowly realized that this wasn't a trick of the sun above my head, but instead tiny bolts of electricity zapping through the plants as they made their way toward me. I'd asked her not to send a giant lightning bolt at me. This was her solution? I wanted to laugh, but the image of multiple small amounts of electricity hitting different parts of my body didn't exactly seem like a laughing matter. The surge of energy came to me once again through the contact with the weapon. I knew what I had to do and instantly swung it out with my right arm. Blue light glowed all around me, and it took me a second to realize what was happening. The outside world seemed shrouded in a haze of azure and sapphire blue, but even my women were tinted with the colors. The racing yellow lightning bolts were tinged a sickly green through the filter around me, and right as they were about to slam into my legs, they exploded upward with a loud crackle. I immediately understood how the weapon had protected me. I reached out with my free hand and brushed at the air in front of my face. The blue light warbled and instantly fell away to the ground. I raised my head, and my eyes connected with Edeny's gaze. The Duchess's violet eyes were wide, and her plump lips hung open in shock.
"A force field?
The she-wolf shouted.
What's that? A force field?
I believe so. It was like the weapon sensed as the danger neared and told me exactly what I needed to do.
Now,
Daisy chuckled,
it's my turn. I know you've let Edony and Val go easy on you, Charles, but from what you've shown us, I think that we can take it up a notch, don't you think?
I stared the bear girl down from across the field. In between us laid the yellowed and blackened grass where Edony had sent her attack. All of my women were physically strong, but Daisy, she was a completely different story. I'd seen the brunette tear 5 men limb from limb with no effort at all. She'd killed beasts merely by hitting the air and creating physical attacks from it. I wasn't so sure that I wanted her to pull full force into this, but I needed to train. Not only that, but I needed to understand how Sicarius worked and how I could use it to my advantage. Sure, I could use the weapon the way it was intended as a club, but I needed to know its magical capabilities. All right, Daisy, I chuckled, took a swing with the staff, and then smashed the haft down into the dirt. Let's see what you got.
Okay, Charles. I'll just apologize now instead of later, so I'm sorry for what I'm about to do.
I had no reason to be, but I felt confident in my abilities. Sicarius had already shown me that it would protect me, and now it was my turn to see what it could do when put to the test. Daisy lowered herself closer to the ground and kept her honey-colored eyes on me. Before I could even blink, the bear girl took off like a shot and raced through the grass with her arms pumping at her sides. I placed both hands on Sicarius's haft and prepared myself for any type of attack. Since Daisy was my second monster girl, I knew her fighting style very well, and I already knew that the bear girl rarely attacked me from the front. If she did, it was merely a diversion, and she'd stray to the side or leap over you to attack where you couldn't reach. From the brunette's trajectory, she was coming head-on, so that could only mean she meant to leap over me and hit me with all of her might from behind. I had 2 choices. I could attack now before she reached me, or after when she landed behind me. I chuckled as I decided on my course of action and kept my eyes glued to the bear girl's blurred feet. The brunette would jump right as she was about to hit me to psych me out, but I was prepared. I lifted my head when she was mere feet away and lunged forward with Sicarius raised over my head. The same sensation blasted through me, and I pushed all of my strength behind the strike. The haft of the weapon slammed into the dirt, and the earth rumbled underneath it. I didn't understand what I'd just done, but Daisy skidded to a stop as the ground cracked open, and black hands reached up in between. The skeletal hands grabbed for her, and the brunette screamed before scrambling to the left.
What the hell?
The bear girl shouted. Her face tensed, but she had a decision to make, either scramble backward and lose the fight, or move on toward me and keep fighting. I knew Daisy well, and the bear girl was fiery and determined. There was no way she would give up because I'd surprised her. The brunette glanced down at her feet, then the giant crack with reaching hands in front of her, and then backed up a few steps. Daisy raced forward, slammed her right foot against the crack's edge, and launched herself into the air. I had her. She couldn't escape. Sicarius's haft dragged against the grass behind me as I tracked Daisy through the air, and another craggy hole opened up. More blackened hands exploded out of the darkness and grabbed at her flailing boots.
Charles!
Daisy screamed and tried to stop herself as she flew through the air above my head. I tutted softly under my breath and grabbed her by the waist. Daisy's sudden weight dragged me forward toward the second gaping hole in the ground. But as the brunette clung to me, I waved Sicarius over it. The hands disappeared with a plume of gray smoke, and the broken earth below my feet quickly rose and healed itself. Daisy panted and held on to me for dear life as she stared down at the grass where the hands had just been. Suddenly, the bear girl fell backward, rested her head on my chest, and laughed heartily. Her golden eyes connected with mine, but her giggles never stopped, and she held even tighter onto me. What?
You knew exactly what I was going to do. You've observed us and memorized our fighting styles.
True. I tittered and set her back down beside me. Each of you has a distinct style, and yours is what I've heard called evasive maneuvers.
I just have one question.
Edony breathed and swept over to us.
What were those things?
Things? What do you mean?
The arms. You broke open the earth, and they just reached out to grab at Daisy's ankles. What were they?
I have no idea. I think they're called guardians?
Guardians?
Valerie wrinkled her nose.
How do you know that?
I summoned them, I think. I don't know how I did it, but I did. I sensed it from Sicarius.
Do you think you could do it again?
Cleia asked.
Summon these guardians?
Oh, science! No, Cleia! Did you see how creepy they were? They were just black skeletal arms reaching up from the darkness below.
I probably could. It seemed pretty easy.
Please don't!
The feline woman gasped and clutched her chocolate brown tail between her hands.
They were so creepy!
There's no need to be afraid. There are guardians. They won't hurt us. Now, if you were an enemy aristocrat, I'm sure it'd be a different story. But they won't lay a hand on you.
Okay.
The feline woman murmured and pressed herself to my back before clutching at my shirt.
But I'm going to stay back here if that's all right with you. They may be on our side. They're still pretty freaky.
I cleared my throat and focused on the image of the skeletal hands grasping through the gaping earth. I imagined what they'd look like, what their bodies would be, and waved the staff out in front of me. The darkened runes flickered and flashed to life instantly, and the air in front of me warbled for a second as if something started to manifest there.
Oh, no! No, no, no!
Slowly, the five guardians began to take shape, and I scrutinized them slowly. Just as I'd imagined, the guardians were nothing more than skeletal beings with eyeless faces and shrouded in dark cloaks. They tilted their featureless faces at us, but they fell forward and bowed out of respect when they noticed me.
They're kind of...
Cleia drawled out.
Fun. I like them.
Fun?
Valerie gasped.
You like that?
Daisy repeated.
Yeah. They're just everyday guys, you know. They'll help protect us and stuff like that. I certainly don't think they're creepy or anything.
Cleia, they don't have faces. They're just skin stretched across bone with no eyes, mouths, or noses. How can you say they're just everyday guys? If I saw someone looking like that out on the street, I'd probably run in the opposite direction screaming for my life.
Can you speak to them?
Edeny asked.
Give them a command, Charles.
Stand, I demanded, and slammed the haft of Sicarius into the dirt. Rise and stand in front of your master. The five creatures in front of me raised their featureless faces, made strange clicking noises, and then stood swiftly to their feet. Their bony arms hung at their waists, but all of their heads were trained intently toward mine. Very good. Thank you. That's all I need you for. With a single wave of Sicarius, the guardians bowed their heads and instantly faded from view. Then I lifted the weapon in my hands and gazed through the elemental core piece for a moment. I wondered, were the powers the same for each user, or were the staff's abilities augmented because of the core? I had no way of knowing, but it felt so powerful in my clutches as if it were made specifically for me. I was broken from my thoughts at the sound of a door slamming and Ryan's voice from the hill above. All of us turned at once, and the imp woman raced toward us with flushed cheeks. Her feet swished through the tall grass, and she waved excitedly to get my attention.
Charles! Charles!
Ryan, what's the matter? What's wrong? The black-haired beauty stopped right in front of me, gripped my arms with all of her strength, and then grinned toward me.
No, nothing's wrong. But I have something I need to tell you.
What is it? Did something happen? Has the Queen come to Edenheart?
No, Charles. This has nothing to do with the Queen or the aristocrats. Charles, this is so much more important than all that. I'm pregnant. You're going to be a father.